Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Man, it cooled off. It goes 90 to 60, 30s at night. Yeah, a little chilly. Ha! But it's good. It's beautiful out. It's wonderful. Let's see. Let's start with page 26, and let's stand 26, please.
Sing thy praise, dreams of mercy never cease, call for songs of loudest praise, teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above, praise the mount I'm fixed upon, it, mount of thy redeemer. I raise my sign of victory, hither by thy help I come, and I know by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander,
Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity to come here to your house today, Lord, to worship you. Thank you for this nation we live in, Lord. We know it's many, many problems. We just pray for our leaders, Lord, that they might know to turn to you. We pray for the nation of Israel today, Lord. Guide them and direct them. Be with them, Lord. Strengthen them. Help them to know and see that God's in control, just as we need to know and see ourselves. Lord, that war's already won. We just got to know it and understand it. There may be more lives lost, Lord, but we just pray that your will be done, and I know that it will be, Lord. We're here today in anticipation of our pastor speaking again, Lord. Guide him and direct him, Lord. Give him the power he needs to preach your message today. May it fall on ears that really need to hear it today, Lord. Help us to get a renewed sense of assurance, Lord. Maybe some dedication to you. And Lord, give us compassion for the lost. And Lord, if someone's lost here today, I pray that person might get right before they leave the building today. Be with us today, Lord. Guide and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me see. Page 11, please. Page 11.
Worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, the deep thunder clouds form, and
Offerings first. Let's do that. See, I already prayed. So, guys, if you'll come forward now, we'll take up the morning offering. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for getting us here today, Lord. We can come here to just honor and glorify your name, Lord, in what we do. Thank you for the songs that we've got to sing so far, Lord, what they mean. The words, Lord, they just speak to my heart, and I hope to everybody else here today. Lord, we're going to take up an offer now. Just ask you to be the gift and the giver, and you do so. Just be with us, Lord, as we study here later on. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to do Behold Our God.
Do I have him stand?
I don't know. I'm going to stand.
You want to have him stand?
Oh. You want to stand, please?
Yeah. Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Thank you. Thanks for helping me, Autumn. Let me see here. We did that and that. We're ready for this. Here we go. Evening service tonight at 6 o'clock is our training for evangelism study number 2. It's good stuff, folks. You ought to come out for that. Upcoming events, Lutheran Homes today at 2. Teacher training today at 4:30 this evening. Personal evangelism the 17th. We have Wilton Bible study scheduled for the 12th and 26th. We have our Iron Sharpens Iron on the 21st. Women's Bible study at Diana Hall's home. Deacon and trustee, that's me. This Thursday, Pastor, is that right? Thank you. Check the pastor on date. Ladies' retreat is November 4th at Walnut Park. Let Debbie know if you're going so that she can let Walnut Park know how many is coming. Fellowship at the end of this month. Kitchen team is Kay and Sandra. Our joint Thanksgiving service is the November 9th, Thanksgiving already, at 2 p.m. Pastor's thought for the week is your life on thin ice. Make sure you have fall protection. Since we move things around a little bit, I believe Doug's going to come up here and give us a special day.
Good morning. I'm going to sing Peace in the Valley for you this morning because of our eternal hope of heaven. Look forward to that eternity. Certainly, we can have that true peace in the valley. I am tired and weary, but I need toil on till the Lord comes to call me away. When the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as frail on the day, there'll be peace in the valley for me someday. There'll be peace in the valley for me, I pray. No more sorrow and sadness or trouble will be. There'll be peace in the valley for me. There the flowers will be blooming, the grass all green, and the skies will be clear and serene. The sun ever shines, giving one endless beam, and the clouds there will ever be seen. There'll be peace in the valley for me someday. There'll be peace in the valley for me, I pray. No more sorrow and sadness and trouble will be. There'll be peace in the valley for me.
That we have. By the way, if you're here under the blood of Jesus Christ, there are good things coming, folks. We don't want to get too negative. It may be difficult here on this side of eternity until our days here are over, but let me assure you, we are in a good position with Jesus Christ, and we await our heavenly home and true peace, and we will no longer have to be concerned about the cares and difficulties that we have on this side of eternity today. But I welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's always a great day to gather in His name. It's a great day to commemorate His resurrection, the first day of the week. Jesus always wants to be first in our lives. Sadly, we don't always allow that to happen, do we? But I want to welcome you today again in His name, and we're glad for everyone that's here and anyone that's here. And again, today, if you're visiting with us or you're a new person here around this place, we're glad that you're here, and you won't be new for long, because we want you to be at home here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Today is what I call a refrigerator message. It's a message where we're going to clean up some leftovers. And I don't know how you are about that, but I really like leftovers. I think in most cases they're better than the original dish. That age maybe will help that. We'll see how that turns out here today with these messages. But we're going to try to conclude today the message on keeping the church straight in a crooked time and the gospel according to Isaiah. So I don't know how this will work out. I've never done two dishes or messages out of the refrigerator on one occasion before. But pray me through this, folks. We live in exciting times, and we need to go to prayer this morning. I know that we're all aware, if you're not, that Israel, there's quite a few things going on over in the Middle East. You know, churches like Fruitland Baptist Church have told you why that's coming about. And, I just encourage you to read Ezekiel 38 and 39 for a start. And God works in ways that we'll never figure out. And God loves Israel. And Jesus came, first of all, for the lost sheep of Israel. And folks, Israel as a nation and as a people, unless they've been again, redeemed by Christ's blood, they are a lost group of folks today. But Jesus is looking for them. And I believe with all my heart. I don't know that this is the key critical part. None of us do, because we cannot see perfectly into the future. But we know everything that happens is critical, right? And so there will be some hearts that may be turned to Christ today. But as a nation, the Bible tells us Israel will turn back to Jesus Christ. And he is their Messiah, and so keep your eye on things that are going on over there in that region, and they have an effect on the whole world, because Israel is the center of all things that will take place in the last days. So anyway, nothing is without importance. Anyway, today, before we go further, let's turn our hearts again to what we're here for, and that's to worship Jesus. And take just a few moments here to check ourselves, check our love for the Lord. Maybe it's a time to confess to Him the sins in our lives, but we want to come before Him clean today, ask Him to cleanse us. And Lord, that this message would be used of Him, and that He would be the center focus, and that He would be pleased in what takes place in our lives here as we gather corporately before Him today. So with that said, I know there's many things going on in people's lives and in the world today, but let's take just a few moments of silence to talk to the Lord before we begin. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come today assembled as the local church. Lord, those that are called out, that's what the word church means in the Greek, ekklesia, the called out ones. Lord, may we be distinct today as we come before Your throne individually and corporately. And help us, Lord, that our lives would be in alignment with You today. We thank You that there is a font filled with Your blood, Lord, that has covered our sins. And so we give You praise today for that, Lord. We praise You that You bore our sins on Calvary's cross. You took our physical punishment of death in our place, Lord, that we might have eternal life. Thank You, Jesus, today that You are indeed the good shepherd who loves His sheep. Lord, today we know that there are many things that are taking place in Your prophetic world. And we know, Lord, not one day passes that is not important in Your plan. The main thing today, Lord, we acknowledge is our neediness before you and your sufficiency towards us. And today, Lord, my heart goes out to those that may be here in two categories that may not be here under your blood. Again, Lord, never had their sins forgiven. But also, Lord, for those that have had their sins forgiven that are struggling in their walk, Lord, due to the effects of sin and Satan's attacks. I pray today, Lord, you would strengthen us for the journey, give us endurance. I pray that you would allow churches that are Bible-believing churches to prosper, to stand, Lord, that your hand of protection would be upon them as we minister the work of the gospel, Lord, to those that are our neighbors, friends, whether they be near or far away, Lord. I pray you would bless our time as we look into your word today with these two conclusions of two messages today that are before us. Lord, as always today, you know the hearts. I don't. I only know my heart, Lord. But I ask today you'd cleanse me and strengthen me for the task that lies ahead. I ask your forgiveness, Lord, for my sin. And Lord, that you would just again help me to live a life that is profitable for you, O Lord, but also that is reflective of your light. I believe this, Lord, probably everyone here today would pray that same prayer to you this morning. And I thank you that venue is open to us today. Lord, we do know what's going on in Israel. We know that you died primarily for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but they have rejected you, Lord, wholesale as a nation up until this very day. But Lord, individuals have come to know you. But we know, Lord, your prophetic word says they will be gathered, at least some of them, back to you as a nation. And you will rule and reign from your throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years at some point here in the future. Lord, help us to understand these prophetic truths. If we've read your word, we are not surprised by anything, these things that happen. And so, Lord, I pray again that we would be looking for you and seeing what takes place and all the things that go on around us. Now, Lord, today we know there are many needs. This morning, Lord, I pray for a man named Charlie who was in a motorcycle accident and is in critical condition. Lord, I pray for many of these things that take place in our world around us. It's a broken world, Lord, because of man's choice of our sin. But Lord, I pray that you will help those in need today, that you will guide and direct them. We know, Lord, in our homes and in our lives, there are many things that go on. We pray today, Lord, for those who may be spiritually sick. Maybe today in a home there's been strife, there's been fighting, there may be wayward children, wayward parents. All kinds of things, Lord, that affect the part of mankind, Lord, in this broken world. But Lord, I do pray that you would, again, make yourself clear to them and know that there is hope and that they can be healed. And then, Lord, again, we pray for spiritual conditions as well, not only physical but spiritual. And Lord, that you, again, are the great physician who can heal all of our ills. I pray today that we would turn to you. And Lord, that you would again help us, Lord, in our plight. Now, Lord, we also pray for those that we haven't seen around for a while. And Lord, we know that there are many things, again, that affect people. But I pray, Lord, that we'd see this gathering place just bursting at the seams with people. And Lord, maybe there'd be one Sunday we'd see 100 people here, Lord, that could be here all the time. Anyway, Lord, wake people up, I pray. And then keep me awake too, Lord, with these things. I need your help in all things. Now, Lord, if you just strengthen me, I pray, and empower me to bring this message. It's kind of a tough one today, Lord, for me for some reason, but I pray today, Lord, you'll help me to bring it forth and that it'll be profitable in your sight. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, I've got to straighten this out. It just doesn't work. By the way, I'm not on this thing. I'm on this thing. There. That's how I'm a little touchy about things like that sometimes. Everything has to be in its place. But anyway, the text that we're going to begin on this morning in our refrigerator message is the one that's found in 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to be looking here, or 2 Timothy. What's the matter with me? 2 Peter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be beginning with verse 6. But I just want to bring us up to speed on this. And we were discussing in that last message about keeping the church straight in a crooked time. And by the way, folks, it is a very difficult time in the church's history. Not unlike what's happened in other times, and I illustrated that briefly. But folks, when we consider the condition of the local church, and I'm talking here about Fruitland, I don't have any right to judge any other churches because, as I say, I've got enough to do to tend to my own knitting. But you know what, folks? Some churches that are churches should not be called churches. And we need to be careful here at Fruitland that we are able to legitimately continue to be called God's church, Christ's church. When we consider the condition of the church today and the condition of the culture, there's something I'd just like to have us think about a little bit. Because one follows the other. And let me give you the scenario here today. If the church follows the culture, it will become like the culture. If the culture follows the church that follows God, it will become more like God's culture. So this is where we stand today, folks. We stand, as we always do, at a time when we must make decisions what way we're going to go. And from my perspective, what I see in God's Word is there's no choice but to follow God. Even though there is a choice, and many of us are making choices that are not good choices, but folks, we need to understand that we need to love each other here at Fruitland, and we need to make the right choices, and we let it go in God's hands. We don't need to get divided over trivial issues. We need to be united over the true and important doctrines that the Bible talks about. And that, my friends, a key doctrine is the gospel. It's the fact that man is a sinner. Christ loved sinners. God loved sinners through Christ. He came and died, bore our sins, shed his blood to cover our sins, and he rose again. And folks, that's the message of the gospel. And heaven is being prepared for each of us individually. By the way, Jesus, if you read John chapter 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. He has something special. I have to think about this all the time for you and for me. And it'll be exactly what we need for all eternity. My concern today is, are you headed for eternity with Jesus? Let me give one little plug, too, to the person, or to the our booklet tonight. Yeah, senior moment here. Way of the Master. Why couldn't I spit that out this morning? Tonight is just the second night of that. It's not too late to get involved in that. Because, you know, there's really only two things about people, too. There are people that need evangelized, okay, and people that need to evangelize. That's the two categories that everyone in this room fits in this morning. And this will be a very helpful course if you'll come to that. I invite you again. That's all I've got to say. But don't pass up opportunities. Sometimes you cannot get them back. Just incidentally, when you think about what happens here in Israel, that was no surprise to God. It might have been a surprise to the Israelis, but you know, that's how God works. We may be here today and gone the next. We want to take heed to that. Anyway, the condition of the church in the later days. Now, ladies, this is going to be a little tough this morning, what I have to say, but would you want me to stand up here and not tell the truth or lie? But it doesn't mean I can't tell the truth in a way that is gentle, okay? But where we're going to start this morning is in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Paul is talking to Timothy about what's going to be taking place in the late days of the church, and we covered some of this. And he focuses here for just a minute. By the way, what's he talk about in verse 5? Let's just back up a minute. You can listen to these messages on the website. But he was talking, this is where we closed last time, about the modern day, later day church. It's going to have a form of godliness, but it denies what? The power of it. Okay? It's not in the real calling of what Christ would have us do. It's not doing what he wants us to do. And Paul is telling Timothy, we need to depart from that kind of a thing. And I closed with separation, but let me tell you this, folks. God wants us to be separated to him and from the world. And sometimes we have to separate from other people even. Okay? But we need, again, to have our eyes focused and fixed on Christ and what he has from us, because there has been and will be a massive departure from the true orthodox biblical Christian faith. And it's very evident around you. By the way, folks, that's why we need to be involved in the scriptures, because they'll keep us straight. Okay? Anyway, now here's another factor. Now, I just got to go into my notes here a little bit. Women, you heard me preach on this when I was preaching about the gender roles here a few months ago. But let's face it today, folks. The ladies, you are a very powerful force. Several people, yeah, sounds good, Pastor. Keep up with that. You know, I can't think of a time when Miss Kim has not asked me to do something that I would have attempted to have done it to the best of my ability. But think about this a little bit. Ladies have a powerful force. The point that I want to raise that Paul's raising to Timothy, he says in the later days, women are going to have a powerful force negatively on God's church. Now, can I say something this morning that could get me in a lot of trouble? And, you know, I hope you'll still love me. There are tomatoes back there to throw. But if you get in trouble with the cleaning folks here, I can tell you, they can be nasty to deal with. Ladies, what I'm trying to get at this morning in a genteel way is really be careful how you handle yourselves with the Lord. You get what I'm saying? This is the basis of this. Because the way God has wired you for His reasons why He wants to use you. And by the way, let's come back to the baseline thing here. By the way, if I don't get to the second message today, tough, okay? Because we'll get where we get when we get there and we won't have a fit. He wired you in a certain way, but He wants you to use that for God's glory. Not for Satan's purposes. Now here, Don, I know you'll help me today if I get in trouble here today. But folks, and I know I'm a guy up here teaching this, but ladies, let's come clean about this. And I'm not picking on anyone here today. But if you go back in the life of a church, do you know who holds the most powerful control in a church? It's the women. You can even look here today, you'll find generally that women will outnumber men in the church. We talked about all this stuff before. But folks, when there's trouble in the church, what I mean by that, or when it begins, or doctrinal slide in a church, I'm going to say this, and it's risky, but I'll take the risk. Ladies, it will be a gal that's at the behest of that. Who's mad? If you're mad, I'm warning you gals, not as a male-dominating preacher here. I'm warning you in the name of Jesus. Watch how you handle yourself in the days we live. Because you have an influential role for either good or bad. Do you get what I'm saying? Love you gals and you guys too. But we got to tell it like it is. Okay? And we talked about a lot of that earlier on. But here's what Paul told Timothy in verse 6. And I'm gonna bring this out a little bit. He says, "For this sort are they which creep into houses." Paul's talking about the false teachers here. And they prey on the gals, because the gals are what? You're powerful. You have a powerful influence. As I said, Miss Kim's looking at the clock saying, get going. It's dangerous. He says, and lead captive silly women. Now, you put me in this position today, who's going to define what a silly woman is? See, Lord, you always put me in these positions. Yeah. I want to be up the road preaching, you know, just to... No, we can't do that, folks. We understand each other, don't we? A silly woman is a... What's that? Phyllis Diller? I went to one of her... Someone gave us tickets to her one time at Hancher 40 years ago. Some of you younger people don't even know who she was. Don't worry about it. You didn't miss anything. All right, look. We all potentially could slide into that, folks. The guys, too. The guys are the ones that are sitting by and not taking their leadership role that God wants them to have. Let's just face it. That's the problem. In love. Not superiority and, you know, all that. Do what God wants you to do. Here's what I'll try to define this morning. A silly woman is a woman who minimizes their feminine nature and their calling of God. By the way, God created two genders, two sexes, male and female. You know what today, folks? Be thankful for how God created you and seek to do how he wants you to do. And this is what Paul's telling Timothy. He says at the end of the age, the chicks are going to be a catalyst for things going south. By the way, you just review a few of those things I say. If I am wrong, I will want to be corrected. But in my thinking through my days in the church, that is how it's flown. And Paul had it pretty accurate here. He had it accurate, what he told Timothy. But the silly women, being the powerful force they are in our culture, by the way, most of the so-called mainline denominations today are run by But a silly woman is a woman who minimizes God's feminine design by denial, and they seek their own agenda. And so what I'm saying today, ladies, and I lay it on with the men, and you can lay it on me too, because I need it to stay straight. But ladies, stay close to and walk with God. Live out what he has for you in the scriptures. It doesn't matter what goes on here in this monkey business we're going through now. This is eternal stuff, and it's important. And here's what I have to say. Godly women need to live out their faith in conduct, presentation, and ministry. It's the whole thing, folks. It's not only the women, no, it's the men. What are you rebelling against God about in your life? The symptoms of the later days are going to be rebellion in both the men and the women. We're not doing what we're supposed to do, but sorry, ladies, Paul had you folks in mind in this scripture here today. Godly women need to live out their faith in conduct, presentation, and ministry as a force for God in our day. And what I'm saying is, be different. Don't follow Satan in the world. And it's a big danger today, folks. Well, let's go on to verse 7. And this speaks to our culture again. I believe this, and as I look at this, there is a break between that. I believe verse 7 applies both to men and women in Paul's writing here to Timothy. But this is another symptom of a crooked generation that we live in, folks, and why the church must stay straight. Now, here it is, verse 7. Ever learning, I didn't complete verse 6. Led captive silly women, this is the false teaching, be careful who you listen to, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. A power trip. By the way, isn't power a big thing for people? I won't go into that this morning, but people are driven by power. Sex, lust, you can name a few others. You'll come down to the bulk of the things that drive people, the force that drives people. Anyway, verse 7. Oh my, if this isn't today, I don't know what it is. I believe it applies to both of the sexes here, though, in this case. It says the generation that we will be involved in the later days is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is the big quest that we've seen in front of people for several hundred years? It's to find real truth. Objective truth. Truth that cannot be, again, challenged because it is always true. My friends, that's the truth that comes from God. But people are spending trillions of dollars to get wise about dumb things. They want to learn more, seeking truth, but they reject truth when it's right in front of their eyes. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. This book is true, folks. You'll never prove it wrong. Anyway, it's an age of deception. They'll be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Mainly what people are learning about today is nothing. Seinfeld. It was a show that was about, Brenda? We're wasting our time, folks, with all this stuff. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't solid subjects that we need to learn about. But in general, people are seeking something they're never going to find as a fallacy, and that's going to be symptomatic of the day that we live. Friends, this is the real deal. Jesus is the real deal. So it is, men and women, this is a part of the age, learning about nothing of value but never God's source of truth. Proverbs 1:7, and you could go to a lot of things in Proverbs and through all Scripture, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I might add, wisdom from above. We've got a whole bunch of people that are fools around us today, folks. Today, what people pursue is what I call intellectualism. I've got a degree. I've done that. But it's all about nothing. And in our later environment, people that go to school and borrow money, maybe they'll get their debts forgiven. I don't know. But it'll be a waste of time anyway if you're only there for intellectualism. You've got to have a purpose. And I'm telling you, folks, the purpose is to glorify God. If you want to be an engineer, if you don't want to go to school, if you want to do whatever God has led you to do, do it and do it with all your heart. That's what the Bible says, as unto the Lord. Anyway, that's going to be part of the age we live in. No learning about valuable things, a waste of time. Going on here, he illustrates something that happened back in the time of Moses and the Pharaohs when God delivered his people out of Israel. He says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses..." By the way, who were Jannes and Jambres? They were Pharaoh's sorcerers, magicians. Yeah. Remember when God worked those miracles through Moses? Moses threw down his rod. It became a what? A serpent. They were able to come, but they couldn't do it all the way, could they? They had a lot of power, but they do not have the power of God. By the way, that's a picture of Satan. Jannes and Jambres were Satan's agents there to try to deceive people that the God of the Bible is not the true God and can do all things. Anyway, so deception. "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth." That's what's going on in our culture today, folks. You know, I mean, what's happening in Israel, I know it has an important role in what God's doing. And I haven't followed it really closely here today. I've heard some other things from you folks. But folks, the truth of it is, everything that's going on today points, once again, to God unwinding the age, as I illustrated when I brought this message forth. It's a resistance to his truth. And of course, Paul illustrates what these people will be like. He says, "Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." A corrupt mind is what we know as an undisciplined mind. And what an undisciplined mind is a person that has a mind that is all over the place. In other words, they're involved in all kinds of things, all kinds of thinking. They're using their mind, but not for what? For a purpose, a single purpose. Now, I'm not to say that we don't need to investigate things, but can I ask us all today, including myself, by the way, I preach these to myself first, is your mind disciplined toward Christ today? And I'm here to tell you that I'm struggling with that because of the cares and the stuff that goes on in this world and Satan's attacks. But folks, we must discipline ourselves to be focused on Christ. A focused mind, because Paul's saying here, corrupt minds, it's going to be the symptom of the age. And along with corruption... He uses the word here, reprobate, concerning the faith. Reprobate means morally unprincipled, destined for damnation and destruction. Folks, that's where a lot of people are. You know, Paul said in the book of Romans in chapter 1 that God will turn people over at some times when they continue to resist the truth to a reprobate mind. God doesn't want you to go down that path, but you know what? God says eventually, if that's the path you're going to go on, then you're going to go. If we're in that position here this morning, that is a very dangerous situation, folks. It needs attention immediately. It needs attention at the throne of grace. It needs repentance. It needs us to turn around. But Paul told Timothy, that's the crooked day that we're going to live in the later days. And the church must operate in this. Anyway, folks, here's the thing, though, in verse 9 that we want to leave on this morning with. Paul says, and this happened, by the way, with the Egyptians. It's happened all through God's program. God's been very gracious, but there comes a day of reckoning. And that day will come again. I don't know when it will come, but it will come. And that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, but they shall proceed no further. Folks, the stuff that we see going on today will come to an end. The corruption that we see today will come to an end, but there's going to be people hurt badly. There's going to be people headed for hell for eternity. It will come to an end. For their folly shall be manifest unto all. And this is in italics, men, but unto all. See, what we live in today in our environment is a culture of fools. Foolishness is what's popular today. Being stupid is what's popular today. Huh? It may go on for quite a while because God has a lot of mercy and grace. But folks, it's coming to an end. How are you and I going to approach Jesus? If you're here today saved, we're going to approach Him at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're here today unsaved, you're going to approach Him at the great white throne judgment and come up with more foolishness before His throne. But Jesus isn't going to buy it because Jesus is no fool. That's the gravity of what's going on here, folks. It's nothing new, but it's going to be symptomatic of the last days. Now, that does not negate that there could yet be a revival personally and even in a large scale in our day. I believe one of two things. We're at the foot of a revival or we're going to be headed into our final days. Only God knows. He tells us, though, not to what? We need to do what's right, stay straight in those days, right? Let's try to do that, folks, best we can. It starts with all of us individually. And it includes starting with me. Amen. There will be a day of reckoning. And folks, all we can say is, it's on the way. Now, I'm going to stop there a minute on this refrigerator message. I want you to promise you'll read the rest of the chapter. But understand this, we have an obligation to stay straight for Jesus. Will we do it? We do it one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. I'm not going to stand up here and make bold promises. Let me tell you something, folks. There have been some churches, by the way, no church is good. A church is a work in progress. There have been churches that have stood by the stuff, but I can name churches, so-called churches, right in this community that haven't stayed by the stuff. I can't boldly stand up here and say, I want to stay by the stuff as your pastor. But we need to do what we can with God's help to stay straight for Him. There's not many left, folks, that'll teach the truth anymore. Sometimes we ought to have a coffee break in these messages. No. Anyway, it's important because God has called on us to preserve the integrity of His church until we're done. Now to Isaiah 53 and the other refrigerator message. The conclusion of Isaiah. By the way, God is so gracious to people. You know, in Isaiah's day, Isaiah prophesied to the nation of Israel. And again, it's interesting, and it's not surprising that we're talking about Israel today, of what's been going on. But Isaiah was in the rough frame of 700 plus years preceding the birth of Jesus Christ. Isaiah was one of the major prophets that talked about His coming. Israel was warned. Israel saw Jesus as the God-man in operation. They saw him go to the cross. They saw him rise from the tomb. They saw him ascend back into heaven and say he's going to be coming back. Let me see, the Wilton mathematics. Jesus' day is what now? A little under 2,000 years that he walked this earth. Okay, how's that work? 2,000 plus 7. Is 2,700 years enough? A warning? And you know what? It's not, because people don't get it. God's been so gracious with us. We need to take heed to his warnings. But here is what is poured out in Isaiah 53, the gospel of Isaiah. It's Christ's love for people. It's God's love for people through his son Christ, God in the flesh, and what he endured again for people. Now let me switch here on my message, because I might have had some profound things I wanted to say this morning. Let's see, where was I at here? Oh, by the way, the other thing on staying straight in a crooked church or crooked world, Philippians 2, 14 through 16. I talked about it at the close of the last one. Now let me get over here to this one. And where was I going to start on this today? Verse 8. No. Bear with me. We'll find it here. Isaiah 53. Yes, verse 8. I should trust these notes more often. Again, we know the Ethiopian eunuch was saved from this passage. Okay, Philip met him. But here's what is illustrated 700 years before Christ came. Do you believe it now that 2,700 plus years has passed? I hope so. But here he describes the life and the work of Christ as he died for our sins. You can go back and listen to the message on the earlier part. But in verse 8 it says, he was taken from prison. What prison was Jesus in? He was placed in the grave. But the third day he rose from the dead, from the grave. That's prison, folks. Jesus preached to the spirits in the grave and said, good stuff's coming because there's going to be a resurrection. Hallelujah. The older I get, the more I ache. But you know, it's not all about the aches and pains. It's going to just be the fact that we will never have to deal with the subject of death in our bodies. By the way, you know, about 24 is the peak for humans. But let's face it, folks, from the day we're conceived, we're what? We're headed for death. It'll be no more. It'll be gone from the picture, other than remembering when we see Jesus' hands. He tasted death, you know, for us, that we might not taste it eternally. God, the sinless one, had to die for our sins. Anyway, he was taken from prison and from judgment. In other words, Jesus defeated hell. The judgment of hell in our place. Who shall declare his generation? This is prophetic too, because guess what? Who stood up for Jesus? The disciples weren't there. We're declaring it today, those of us that understand what took place here. It's all about him. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, Isaiah says. God told Isaiah. He said, for the Israelites, Jesus came first. And he went through, again, the punishment that was should have been assigned to Israel for their transgression against God. He went through the punishment that should have been assigned to you and I for our transgressions against God. By the way, in junior, senior high class this morning, we talked about this. What's wrong with the church? I'll tell you why the church doesn't function like it should. Why it didn't continue to function in Acts chapter 2 like it should. It's called sin. And it's our sin. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked. Talk to me about this. Jesus was crucified with two malefactors, thieves. One was saved that day on the cross. His grave also involved the rich. Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man, purchased the tomb where Christ's body was laid. because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus couldn't have been convicted for what he went to the cross for. It was a crooked trial. But guess what, folks? Jesus took the crooked stuff to set us straight. He wasn't killed or murdered by anyone. He voluntarily died for you and for me. Praise God. See, the thing is about this, folks, in our humanity, we'd say, this is all too good to be true. Well, that's God. He's true because he's that good. Amen. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, pleased God the Father to bruise him. Jesus was made meatloaf on the cross with our sins. And he hath put him to grief. Now, I've dealt with a few of you folks. Grief is one of the harshest things that you'll ever bear. I know that there are some of you in here today that have lost loved ones, that you've lost spouses. You know, people could say, oh, it gets better with time. Well, that's a trite answer. Grief is something that you and I cannot even fathom till we've gone through it. Amen? That's what Jesus went through, is he bore the sins for billions of people. What a tragic thing. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus had no reason to have to do that. He is God. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You know who the seed is that's talked about here? It's every person that receives Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why Jesus did it. You know, it says what in heaven? There's rejoicing in heaven over every soul that understands this and receives Jesus and is forgiven and brought into the family of God through the blood of Christ. Amen, Dave, Brother Dave. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You see, it's only through Jesus' work on the cross that we are justified. Justified means declared righteous. When we, by faith, receive and believe what Jesus has done for us, we're declared righteous because of him. Don't ever forget that, folks. It's all about him. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Folks, I preached a funeral for an attorney one time that never practiced. And there were several of the legal eagles from Muscatine in that service. But I told them all that day, you better know a good attorney. What? I think I'm a good... Folks, Jesus. Jesus interceded on our behalf as our attorney and says to God, you know what? Don't judge them because I took their place of judgment for them. And let me tell you, he's a good attorney because God is the just judge. And Jesus says, give them the pass. I've paid the price. Folks, have you believed that gospel? The good news, what, remember? Have you believed and received that gospel in your life today? That's what Jesus wants. He did it for you and I personally. He did it for you and I personally. Let me ask, as I asked one other time, in conclusion, is Jesus your Savior today? I know that he is mine on the basis of grace through faith and what is written in the Word. Maybe you're like I was in my younger days. I used to doubt my salvation sometimes. So I'd say, Lord, forgive me again if I'm not saved. Show me. He showed me from the Word. And he woke me up to people like David and all the rest of this bunch of people that's lived. And he showed me that the just people that are justified are those who by faith have believed God. And his righteousness is imputed to us. That's how I know that I'm saved because the book says it, but he also has given me the down payment of the Holy Spirit that tells me, John, you're headed for thin ice. By the way, Jude 24, you read that. If you're skating on thin ice, you better look for someone that'll help you to keep you from falling. Jude 24, and now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Take a look at that verse sometimes. By the way, there's only one chapter in Jude. So it's just Jude 24. Have you been delivered from death to eternal life? That's what being saved means. Have you been delivered? If you cannot say, and you were to die right now, where would your soul rest? And folks, as we know, there's only two destinations that the Bible says, heaven or hell. Listen to Ray Comfort when he talks, where are you headed? Everyone's thought about it. Death is a big thing for people. We all wonder what, when, where, and how. But know this, that Christ died for our sins. And we can be delivered by admitting that we are unworthy of heaven because of our sin and believing and accepting that Jesus is the only way to heaven by his forgiveness of our sin, by taking our punishment on the cross and bleeding to pay the price of shed blood for the cancellation or remission of sin. Resurrection, a new life that guarantees ours as well. And if you place your faith and trust in him and call on him and ask him, you will be saved. For whomsoever shall call, shall ask the Lord, and believe, shall be saved. So my question to all of us with a lot of things in life is, what are you waiting for if you haven't? Lonnie said when we started, this was a good day. It's a good day to get saved if you're not. I want you to know that today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. What are you waiting for? And there's no other way. And the other thing about it is, it's a free gift but costly. Now, do any of you remember REA days or REC days? Woodrow, you're up in Wilton. I go by the grounds this time of year, early September, and I think I sure liked when they had that. They gave away prizes, if you remember. Patsy, you remember that? They rolled the barrel. Hey, you want a new stove? You want always an electric appliance. It was free to you, but the stuff they gave out was good quality. Jesus gave his best, but he offers it to you freely. Anyway, he offered it up at the cost of the life of God in the flesh, the Son of God. John 5:24 sums it all up, folks, and we're done. Verily, verily, truly, truly, Jesus says unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. That's what it's all about, folks. That's the gospel that's throughout the scripture and that we explored in Isaiah 53. It's that simple. If you fear deliverance more than you fear eternal punishment in hell, you better think that one over a few times. And come to Jesus now. He is waiting with open arms. I'm done. We got two refrigerator messages in one day. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 550. Now this morning in Sunday school, and Jay Don will remember this, when Peter did the first miracle of the church, after the early days of the church, it was the lame man that was healed. Jay Don, what did Peter tell him?
Silver and gold, I have none.
Yeah, he told him that, but he said, look at me. Folks, don't look at me today, but look into Jesus' eyes. Can you tell him the truth today? Are you headed to be with him for eternity? Are you headed for hell? And as you look him in the eyes today, I know this, Jesus' eyes are not a flaming fire of judgment at this time. They are loving eyes that say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, he's waiting for you today. Won't you step out
and take his hand. I'm here to help. There's others that are, but Jesus will help you today. He's waiting for you today. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. When I was a teenager, I did some rebelling like a lot of us have and maybe still are doing. But when I was gone late at night, my mom, Charlotte, sat on the edge of the couch waiting for me to come home and was always glad when the headlights came down the lane, sometimes later than it should have been. Jesus is waiting for you today. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Doug, would you dismiss us today, please?